Welcome to No Ad, No Problem, a podcast devoted to college tennis and growing the game. Check us out on Twitter at JTweetsTennis and Instagram at No Ad, No Problem. I'm your host, John. Let's serve it up. Hey everyone, before we dive into today's interview, I wanted to give you all a heads up of what's to come over the next 2 weeks. I will be in person in Athens, Georgia next Thursday and Friday for the Georgia men versus Texas match and then the Georgia women versus Texas A&M match. As such, I've got a lot of additional preview content coming your way for those two matches. We kick it off today with our interview with Georgia associate head coach Jamie Hunt, and then next week I'll release episodes with Georgia's number one player Thomas Paulsell and discussions with women's head coach Drake Bernstein and junior Dasha Vidmanova. So if you're a Georgia fan, make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss any of that content over the next 2 weeks. And if you'll be at either of those matches, please come up and say hello. All right, with that scheduling update, let's get into our conversation with Jamie Hunt. Joining me on today's show is the current University of Georgia men's associate head coach, Jamie Hunt. Coach Hunt was part of Georgia's 2007 and 2008 NCAA national championship teams as a player, and now finds himself in his seventh season on the Georgia coaching staff. After this season, Coach Hunt will step into the role of head coach, just the third in Georgia's history, as he'll replace the legendary Manny Diaz, who recently announced he'd be retiring at the conclusion of this season. Coach Hunt, congrats on your upcoming promotion and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
So I'm excited to have you on, not just because you are taking over arguably the best coaching job in college tennis, but also because you played a small role in me even having this podcast and covering college tennis as closely as I do.
How so?
So I grew up near Stanford and I played competitively in juniors. And so I attended a lot of matches at Stanford. I went to the NCAAs when Stanford hosted it there in 2006, but it wasn't until 2010 was the first year I traveled to NCAAs. And as you'll remember, that was hosted your senior year in Athens. And I remember showing up for the round of 16 matches where you all were playing Florida. And I had never witnessed a atmosphere or a crowd as electric as that, from the free t-shirts to the dogs barking to the Florida chomp. I didn't know college tennis could be that electric. And there was really no way at that point, impartial fan, you couldn't be a Georgia fan during that run where you all knocked out Florida in the round of 16, knocked out Oklahoma in the quarterfinals, and then ultimately fell to a fantastic Tennessee team in the semifinals. So it was such a fun event. I've never missed an NCAA since. And here we are, 14 years later.
Wow, that's incredible. And I'm just so happy to hear that, you know, Athens and UGA played a role in that, because I remember that tournament vividly, and it was a special run. We were playing well and just ran into a tough Tennessee team, but that was a great tournament.
Yeah, so I remember you, Coach Bernstein, now as well. If I'm being honest, it was probably a lot attributed to Javi there at the one position for the electric atmosphere, but no, I appreciate that small part you play in my covering of college tennis now.
That's awesome.
So the coach there in that match would have been Coach Diaz. This is a coach that you had the opportunity to play under and now coach with for the last 7 years at Georgia. He recently announced he'll be retiring at the end of this season. What legacy is Coach Diaz leaving behind for Georgia tennis, college tennis, and what does it mean for you to be his successor?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly get emotional just thinking about his legacy, because he's the Nick Saban of college tennis. I mean, he's just made such an impact on not just UGA, but college tennis as a whole. And, in my opinion, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And certainly in our conference, he is the greatest to ever do it. And, so I think his accomplishments on court, you know, speak for themselves. I mean, 29 SEC championships in 35 years is absolutely ridiculous when you think about it, and the people that understand how hard that is It's just a mind-blowing stat. But more importantly, it's his impact that he's had on his players. I mean, we've got a WhatsApp chat with 115 former Lettermen that almost on a daily basis we're communicating back and forth. And so he's just been a second father to all of us, and just made a huge impact on all of us personally. I mean, I've said this before, but he's arguably the greatest influence on my life, both professionally and personally. So, and I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. So, his impact is far reaching. And, I mean, to take over for him is the privilege of a lifetime. I mean, I'm just honored and humbled, and, this program and this university have meant so much to my family. I met my wife here at Georgia, and I fell in love with this place on my unofficial visit a long time ago, and that love has only grown every day since. So I'm really honored and humbled and ready to get to work.
You mentioned that WhatsApp chat, and I remember hearing about that this past year in Orlando as Ethan Quinn won the NCAA singles title, and how busy that chat was during that time. I imagine it's been blowing up over the past week with the announcement that you'll be taking over the head coaching role. So have you been hearing a lot from some of your former teammates and other Lettermen?
I have. And you know, they were all just showing an incredible amount of love and gratitude to Coach Diaz for a long time. And they've just been nothing but supportive since then. I know they're a special group, and they're going to be behind me and this program and these players. And I'm very fortunate to have such a great group of Lettermen behind me.
Yeah. Well, it's been fascinating following your story as you rise into this head coaching role. You really can't script it any better. You talk about meeting your wife here in Athens, and you go on, you win an NCAA title. You'll now be ascending to the head coaching role. Manny was quoted recently as saying that when he hired you 7-8 years ago, he figured it would be his last assistant coach hire and that you would be the perfect candidate for the future. How openly did you and Manny talk about this possible transition one day?
We were very open about it. And, you know, a couple of years ago, he came to me and just said, you know, I want you to succeed me. You're the right man for the job. And he started giving me a lot more responsibilities, from, you know, planning practices to taking more of a lead in player development, to budget preparation and scheduling. And he just wanted me to have a hand in everything, so that when that time came, that I would be prepared. And so he's been phenomenal as a mentor and just allowing me to learn and grow. And I think that transition will be a lot easier because of it.
I've also heard you say that you have about a million different bullet points of pieces of advice from Manny Diaz written down over the years. Is there one piece of advice you have been reflecting on over the past week, which I imagine has been a pretty hectic and overwhelming week? Is there one that you've been reflecting on as you navigate this upcoming change?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that I set out to do in year one when I started working with him. Was I'm going to take just copious amounts of notes and just learn from the best. And I could honestly probably write a book on it. You know, but I think I'm very fortunate that Manny went through a transition very similar to this. I mean, he took over for Coach McGill, who's a legend. And one thing Coach McGill told him was just be yourself. Don't try and be anybody but yourself. And that's what Manny has told me. He said, don't try and be me. Just be yourself. And we see the game in a very similar way. We have similar philosophies. And so, you know, the continuity is going to be there. And I may say things slightly different than he did, or go about things slightly different. But, you know, we want the same thing. And so I'm just going to be myself and love all my players and work hard. And good things tend to happen when we do that.
Yeah, you talk about that continuity at Georgia from Dan McGill to Manny Diaz to now yourself. I think that's one of the very unique traits of Georgia tennis. You don't see that often. I mean, for you to be the third coach in program history is something really special. So that's something Manny will certainly have experience doing, and I'm sure he'll be able to provide you some of that transition advice as well. When Manny was on the podcast a few months ago, I was curious to get his thoughts on the ways college tennis has evolved during his coaching career, having seen so much of the college landscape. And one of the things he talked about was how much college tennis specifically has evolved with relation to the rise of international players in the game, as well as more schools investing in state-of-the-art facilities. You'll be taking on this role at a really big inflection point in college athletics, whether you have NIL or conversations now about student athlete employment and media rights, conference realignment. Do any of these things give you pause about how the role of a college athletics head coach might evolve into the future?
Well, you're right. I mean, this is uncharted territory we're entering into right now. And I'm very fortunate to be where I am with the University of Georgia, because we're in a great spot. We've got a tremendous amount of support from our administration. I mean, they've poured $35 million plus into our facility over the last 3 years. So we're in a great spot from a athletics department standpoint. And, one thing our AD always says is, change is inevitable and growth is optional. And, we're going to make the most of whatever situation comes up. And, so it's we'll just take it day by day.
One of the things I've heard you talk about is wanting to influence your players' lives in the same way that Coach Diaz, as you talked about at the top, has influenced your life. Do you have concern that the ability to do that might be impacted through, I mean, even in these past few years, you see head coaches taking on a lot more responsibilities. There are certainly programs across the country that might not have as much institutional support as you do at the University of Georgia, who are now taking on, whether that's more of a marketing hat or a salesman hat, fundraising hat. It just seems like that is potentially an open question moving forward of like, what are going to be the day-to-day responsibilities? How do you think about that as you take on this new role?
Yeah, I think, again, the great thing about UGA is that we've got a tremendous amount of support. And so really, it allows me and my staff to focus on recruiting, player development, and our team culture. And everything we do is going to be centered around that. And certainly, there's going to be other things we have to focus on and that consume some of our time. But, the more we can focus on that and our players, the more success we're going to have.
Yeah, certainly. I've had the privilege of getting exposed to a lot of the other institutional support that you have at the University of Georgia, and so much support across the board. It's been great to see. So 2008 NCAA team was the last team to win a NCAA title for the University of Georgia. And as we enter the Hunt era, which I'll dub it, I don't know if that's novel, but the Hunt era upcoming, what will it take for Georgia to claim its first NCAA title in that Hunt era?
Well, that's the goal every year. And we've been close since then, but we're going to continue to recruit the best players in the world. And we're going to do everything we can to develop them. And, I'm lucky to work with Bryce Warren, who's one of the greatest coaches in the country. And so I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to do with our player development. And I'll put that up against any other program in the country. So we're going to recruit the best players, and they're going to get better here. And we're going to try and stay healthy. I mean, that's a huge part of it is staying healthy at the end of the year. And because, I mean, you've seen so many times the best team, the most talented team isn't sometimes the one that wins it all. So, we're just going to recruit the best players and develop them and get them to come together. And if we can do that, we'll have a shot every year.
So you talk about recruiting and development, which is where I want to go next. And arguably this past season, you overdeveloped and over-recruited with the early departure of Ethan Quinn, who I mentioned earlier, winning the NCAA singles title, and the decisions of Alex Mickelson and Ignacio Buse to turn pro. And those probably threw a wrench in your 2024 spring season plans. Did you take any recruiting lessons away from those experiences?
A lot of lessons. And, we didn't expect to lose all of those guys, but, the guys that we replaced them with, we absolutely love. I mean, they're the right kind of guys that are going to represent this program the right way. So we're incredibly happy with them. But as far as lessons, I think when I, when I think back to those recruitments, it's all about relationships. I mean, we just developed great relationships with those guys. You know, we got them on campus here, and I mean, that's a huge part of our recruiting is getting guys on campus. And I think once we do that, they're going to see how special this place is, and more often than not, they'll fall in love with this place.
It's been a trend over the last few years where we're seeing players commit to college and then maybe not go pro. Most recently, we've seen João Fonseca, the U.S. Open boys junior champion, commit to UVA, and then after some stellar pro results, decide to turn pro. I do think this has always been the case. I know Tommy Paul committed to, you know, the University of Georgia, but I think now more with social media, and you're hearing a lot more about these commitments. So I'm curious, outside of Tommy Paul or Alex Mickelson, I know Milos Raonic committed to the University of Virginia, didn't go there. Are there any other would have been Bulldogs that we might not know about over the past 10, 20 years who have ultimately gone on to have really successful pro careers?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. Tsitsipas, Manny has said in the past that he was very close to getting a commitment from him, which that would have been one of the all-time great gets there. So, but that's probably the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. I was curious. You know, there are a lot of those recruiting letters and commitment conversations that have been had. And I think now with the, again, increase in social media, increase in coverage of college tennis, we'll start to hear more about those. And now you have sort of these honorary college players out there on tour, certainly Alex Mickelson being one of them. You talk about the players on this team. It's a team of new faces, and you talk about how they have fit into this program really well. You talk about getting players on campus and them falling in love with the University of Georgia. Do you mind diving in a little bit more to sort of the recruiting strategy and maybe more of the player profile of who you are looking for when you do recruit the best in the world?
Yeah, I mean, our strategy is simple. Is we're gonna go after the best players in the world and continue to do that. And I've always felt like greatness comes in different sizes and shapes. You know, you might have a guy that's 5'8" that is a great player and can come in and play number one. And you might have a player that's 6'3" with a huge serve and a huge forehand. So I don't look for one specific kind of player. I try and approach every player with an open mind, but I do want to see how do they compete? You know, how do they handle the big moments in matches? And that's what I have always felt like has separated our program from other programs is just how we compete and, you know, how we handle those big moments. And so I want players that embrace the moment and love the challenge and love when their opponent is playing well and just kind of sink their teeth into a match and get gritty. So that's, ultimately, that's what we're looking for. And that might be, again, somebody that's, you know, fast and 5'8", or somebody might be 6'3" with a big serve. So I go into it with an open mind.
So if I'm hearing you right, regardless of play style, they're going to need to fit into the pit. And that's the sort of playing style that you're looking for, regardless of size or it's really about that mentality.
For sure. For sure.
And so, I mentioned earlier a bunch of new faces. One thing I've noticed for the University of Georgia program over the years is that you tend to keep a lot of in-state talent on the roster. And those might end up being fantastic players up in the lineup, or those might be players that don't get to see a lot of action. Can you talk about the benefits of having and keeping some of that in-state talent within the Georgia program?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we always want to do is try and keep the best Georgia players home. And, you know, they know what this program is all about because they tend to grow up coming to our matches and they see how our players compete and they see how they fight together. And so they know a little bit more, all right, what does it mean to be a Georgia Bulldog? So we like to keep those guys home and, you know, it's great to have those guys and they fight, you know, extra hard because it's their home, you know, it's their home school.
There's a lot of new faces, either because players are playing much higher up in the lineup, like a player like Thomas Paulsell, who in NCAA's last year wasn't cracking that singles lineup. He's been elevated to the number one spot. You have Miguel Perez Pena, who was a staple for you all these last few years, sort of in that bottom half of the lineup. He's moved himself up. For those players in particular, when you make that ask of them to move so high in the lineup, what do those conversations look like? And what have you seen from those returning players specifically who have had to take on a larger leadership role on court?
Yeah, I mean, it's the conversation, you know, is sometimes simple, sometimes more in depth, but it boils down to we believe in these guys. I mean, we believe in them. That's why they're here, is because we felt like, you know, they could do this. And so a guy like Thomas, we're just thrilled for him to step up and have this opportunity. And he's really growing into that role. I mean, he's had some good wins. He beat Andres Martin from Georgia Tech. And so it's really exciting to see him and his hard work starting to pay off. You know, and this it's a young team, and they are learning as we go here, and they're learning how to handle these big moments and how to handle their nerves. And so there's been a lot of growth, which has been really rewarding for us. It's a different kind of start to the season probably than what we were expecting, but it's been very rewarding to see their growth and see them come along, because really every single match we're seeing growth for sure.
And I mentioned Thomas Paulsell. You talk about his growth there. I'll have him on the podcast as well. So what's one question you think I should ask Thomas Paulsell?
Oh, gosh, putting me on the spot.
And putting him on the spot, because we'll see if he listens to this.
I'm sure he will. Everybody listens to this. One question for Thomas Paulsell. Gosh, I may have to come back to that.
Okay. All right, I'll let you noodle on that one and we'll come back to it at the end. You talk about sort of this season being different. That's a factor of some of those early departures you didn't see coming. But it has also led to some tough losses over these past few weeks. Five losses in a row now for you all. Talk to me or give me an inside look at what those conversations look like in the locker room, particularly because you do have a team that is not only new to Georgia, but a lot of guys who are just new to college tennis in general and probably not used to taking on that many losses. What's been the attitude in the locker room? What have the conversations look like?
Yeah, I mean, with a young team, they tend to just focus on the result. And so our job as coaches is to show them, you know, we lose to Tennessee 6-1. But when you look at it, we were up a break on all three courts in doubles. We easily could have won the doubles point. We served for three sets that we ended up losing. You know, so a few points here and there, and that 6-1 match could have turned into a 4-3 win for us. And so it's just teaching them, you know, the difference between a 6-1 loss and a 4-3 win, and really just showing them that we're not far off. I mean, it's a few points here and there. It's handling this situation a little bit better and closing out a set. And that's the difference in a lot of these matches. And, you know, we're getting a ton of invaluable experience right now. And this is probably the toughest schedule in the country, but it's paying off and it's benefiting us. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of growth in the long term because of this.
Yeah. So I know you have the SEC slate, which is always a tough schedule, regardless of what non-conference matches you play. Just the atmosphere going on the road in the SEC is always challenging. It's probably the most challenging conference to do that in. I talk about those atmospheres that you see at Georgia. I think a lot of other schools have done a really good job over the years of creating more of those electric atmospheres, particularly in the SEC. But you've also scheduled aggressively your non-conference play. You have Texas coming up next week in a non-conference match, although will be a conference match starting next season. This is a school that you especially have a lot of history with, dating back to your playing days. I know you have the SEC matches this weekend, but jumping ahead, looking towards that Texas match, what are you looking forward to and what can fans expect in that match against Texas, a former NCAA semifinalist last season?
Well, they're a tremendous team. I mean, they have a bunch of fifth-year seniors. They're veteran. They're experienced. They've got a lot of good players. They're really well-coached. Bruce has done a great job. And Ryan Lippman, one of my former players, is doing a tremendous job as well. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're up to the challenge. And I know our guys are excited to play them at home, and we're expecting a great crowd, and it's going to be a highly competitive college tennis match.
Yeah, I think it's a great preview for what fans can expect down the home stretch of the season, as Texas probably hasn't gotten off to the start they expected. So they'll be looking to really get into high gear. And as you talk about another great benchmark for having such a young team at Georgia, you have to imagine that that will be a great measuring stick for them as they move into the tail end of conference play. So I'm very much looking forward to being at that match in person. My first time back in Athens since 2017. So I'm very much looking forward to that. All right, well, let's circle back. Any questions for Thomas Paulsell? You can take this any direction you want.
I forgot about it. You could ask him to describe Coach Diaz's meal preferences on the road. How well Coach Diaz likes to eat. Let's see what he responds with that.
Okay, that's some inside baseball I'm curious to get. I see a lot of your pictures at meals on the road. So let's get some inside baseball on Coach Diaz's meal preparation and what he likes to eat on the road. That will be a fun one. That interview will be coming out next week as you all prepare for that Texas match. But Coach Hunt, thank you for coming on the show. It's great to get to talk to you more in depth, and congrats again on your upcoming promotion. I know I speak for so many people in the college tennis landscape who are thrilled for you and your family, who have made Athens home for so many years. To carry that baton from Manny Diaz is a really special thing. And so looking forward to seeing the success you will have this season, but for many years to come after that. And again, I look forward to seeing your team compete in person and congratulating you in person again.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on, and thank you for all you do for college tennis, just promoting it. And we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.